gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 9 for May 28th, 2016. I'm your host, Ken Rose. Along with me, as always, is my co-host and my partner, V Yellow, Vernon. Hello, Vernon.
Hello, everybody. Good morning.
So welcome back to the basement of the Hall of Justice, sitting here with your two newest junior super friends. Vernon, you were batting for the other team the other day. Vernon actually had a guest spot this week.
I want to give a big shout out and thank you to the Mighty Marvel Geeks for having me on their show last night. We were discussing the situation between Captain America and, well, the whole universe.
Well, one thing, what did you think of their new their base? They have a lot bigger base than we have the basement. They have the underground suborbital, or wait, what is it? The above ground underwater suborbital volcano lair. That's it.
Well, you know, Nick Fury would be proud of it. That'd be one of his hiding spots that no one would know about. Whoops. I'm just playing.
It's a lot bigger scale.
They have money. Okay.
Yeah.
They have S.H.I.E.L.D. We don't have that.
Did Kylan show you his new microbus?
No.
Did he tell you about it? He has the microbus helicarrier. He found a VW microbus and turned this thing into their own personal helicarrier.
No, you know what? He did say a bus, but I had no idea what he meant by that.
That's what it is. Kylan's been working on that thing for months. He's all proud of it.
He was talking about it like it was, but I'm like, is this a real thing? What's going on?
But this is not the Mighty Marvel Geeks. This is DC Superpowers and Super Friends. A lot of stuff happened this week. I mean, we have coming up for you, Samsung has a new phone coming that we got to look at. We have DC Comics actually has music news. This is from a CD, so we'll let you guys know coming up. This is just a little bit of tease. We have a writer signed an exclusive deal with DC Comics. Then we get into we had Gotham, Flash, and Arrow all had their season finales. And Flash may have ripped the whole universe into shreds.
We have seen a new Flashpoint.
Yes. If you've not seen Flash yet, Flash and Rebirth kind of just go together. DC Comics Rebirth. So we had a Rebirth in the comic books and a possible Rebirth on Flash. We'll find that out as we're going, and then, as always, we're going to hit our comic shop pull list for the week, and then that's all for the show, but we got a lot of stuff to go through, Vernon, so actually, we're going to change up the order we usually go in. Let's go to I put it in the DC Collectibles news, but you just saw the video of this new telephone. Do you want to go some of the details, or do you want me to talk about it a little bit? Well, tell them what you saw. Tell them what the phone is and what you saw in the video.
The phone is a Galaxy S7 that comes out next month, if I'm correct.
Yes, it comes out in June.
Okay, and basically it's just Batman theme. I mean, the back of it's Batman with the golden bat logo around the back plate for the camera's gold. The flash is gold. Then you flip to the front, Samsung gold theme just as well. Same for the menu screen button. And also on the main screen, it looks like some military time for right now, and which is to stay with the way the phone is. And it has the Injustice Batman character on there from the video game.
Yes.
And the whole thing is just basically themed around the Batman Injustice Gods Among Us video game character. And it also looks like the phone, it already comes with the Injustice game for your tablets and your phones.
Yes. Well, it's the Injustice Injustice Edition. It actually comes preloaded with Injustice and Batman wallpapers. And actually, if anybody has an actual cell phone theme on their phone where you buy it and it changes your number touchpad, your wallpapers, and everything all together to make it all fit together. Well, this has actually got a full Batman and Justice theme to where when you bring up your touchpad, it looks like something Batman would have on one of his communicators. This is basically, I think IGN was calling it, this is actually the first time they've actually introduced a bat phone. This would fit right into Batman's utility belt. But some of the stuff that they got coming with this, it comes with the S7, which is the newest phone from Samsung. It also comes with the Galaxy Gear VR headset. So you can actually And it says here it comes with the Injustice, and it actually comes with some Oculus VR content vouchers. So you can actually buy some of the virtual reality programs to use with the headset. But it comes with, let me see, it comes with a case also, like an armor for the backside of the phone. The awesome thing is that they're making this, and it's actually, they're doing it to celebrate the third year of Injustice being out. Injustice Gods Among Us, the video game. But the problem is, it's being released in June in China, Singapore, Korea, Latin America, and Russia. And that's it.
It's only certain parts of the world are going to
get it. It says other places will be announced soon, but there's one big one from there that it's, this is Batman in the comic books. Yes, they're worldwide, but they're American properties. And we're not getting the phone in America. Not right away. That makes no sense to me.
Hey, you know, they got to distribute out there first. We'll get the best. They're still working on ours. That's why.
Yeah, that's what you see. Yeah, that's what it is. This thing's going to be, it's going to have some bugs and some glitches. They're going to get all that fixed. Then they're going to bring it here to America.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the phone. There's no price point on this yet. But I guess, let me see if there's anything else here. Actually, I have a quote here from Younghee Lee, the Executive Vice President of Global Marketing, IT, and Mobile Division for Samsung Electronics. He says, we are excited to partner with Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and offer a special edition Galaxy S7 Edge for fans of Injustice Gods Among Us. Samsung always seeks to provide the best mobile gaming experience for its users, and this partnership reinforces our commitment to the game's fans. So that's what Samsung actually had to say about it. Trying to just pull up this, I'm actually getting this off of Samsung's actual site, off the news blog on their site. So, yeah, if you go to Samsung, there's actually in YouTube, if you search on YouTube, the Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge Injustice Edition, there's actually an official unboxing video that Vernon actually just saw. Oh, this
now,
is
I was gonna say, you can always see it on their website.
Yeah.
On the article that we're on.
But also, this one other thing that this comes with we miss. I mean, all the Samsungs come with headphones and your charger and all of that type of stuff, but this comes with a gold battering. Do you see that in the beginning of the video?
And I think that's what sold probably everyone else.
Yeah. So not only do you get your phone and a case and the VR headset and everything else, you get an actual battering with it. Now, kids, don't go throwing at your brothers and sisters.
Or your parents.
Yeah. That's one way to get us kicked back out of the Hall of Justice is the fact that we're telling people how to get a hold of batarangs. Batman wouldn't like that.
Not at all.
Moving on, we have some actual comic book news other than Rebirth. Rebirth is taking everything. Well, this is kind of Rebirth news also, but did you read this article yet, Vernon? I know, I just put it up this morning. Oh, wait, this is the wrong one.
You talking about the Aquaman and Teen Titans?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I looked at some of that this morning.
Well, DC Comics in the last couple months and for a while has, off and on has been signing a lot of writers to exclusive deals. Well, they've signed another exclusive deal with Dan Abnett. I don't know if anybody, if you're familiar with him. Dan Abnett actually has been writing the Titans Hunt series that's out there right now. He's actually signed on to write Aquaman Rebirth number 1 and Aquaman number 1 in June. And then in July, he's going to do Titans Rebirth number 1 and then the new Titans series. In the new Titans series, the cool thing is, this is one that I was telling you, Vern, about that you would love. The new series, just called Titans, features the team of Wally West.
Nightwing.
Now, guys,
yes.
Now, Super Friends, we'll get into that in a minute. But the new Titans team is Wally West, Donna Troy, Arsenal, Garth, Lilith, and Nightwing. Now, Lilith is the one I don't know much about. Was she back in the 60s, or did you say was she in the 80s when they did the new Teen Titans?
Not the 80s. I want to say 70s.
Okay.
Because she was, it might have been the very, very early 80s, but she was in there right before we got to see Cyborg, Starfire, Raven, and Beast Boy.
Ah, okay, so it was probably 70s, late 70s.
Like I said, she was like the second wave of the original Teen Titans. She was on there with them.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of looking it up here a little bit, but no, this looks like it's going to be amazing, and it is basically your original Titans team.
Yep, and she was also supposed to be more so like the human on the team.
Yeah.
That didn't really have, she had powers, but wasn't really tapped into. So she was just kind of there to be there at first, and then she became more important as the series went on. And then she came back as Omen later on, villain.
Okay. So, but that's Titans. This is, what Dan Abnett's writing. Now the other books, I found it here. The other books that, he was known recently for in DC was, he's worked on He-Man, Earth 2, and Titans Hunt. So, and I know He-Man, I've read every He-Man since they've reintroduced the character 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. I've read all the He-Man. It's amazing the storyline they got going with He-Man. I'm hoping they're not totally done. They just finished the Eternity Wars with the Eternia War. So hopefully they're going to continue He-Man on past that. But, it was interesting when they reintroduced it, they actually acknowledged all the cartoons and stuff that came before and just continued the story on. The story started with Skeletor actually had won and all the Masters of the Universe and He-Man had forgotten what they, everything that happened before. They had their memories all erased. So Adam is living in the woods with some woodcutter, not knowing that Skeletor had actually, beat him. And in this, Skeletor is actually his uncle. He was the brother of King Randor.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying that.
So, at some point, I gotta get you to read through those.
Yeah, cause I like He-Man, because they had the newer animated series that came out early 2000s.
Yeah.
Mid-2000s. I would watch that. I even had the toys for them. I was trying to collect every one of them, but that, went a little sour the older I got.
Yeah, well, the, I didn't read the, or watch the cartoon until a little later on, because originally, I looked at it, it felt too much like a straight, action figure, commercial. But then I watched it later, and actually, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. It wasn't as bad.
No,
the original ones were even worse.
Yeah, the newer ones, I wish they would have kept going on with. Well, how many seasons did it get? About 4?
No, they only had one or two.
I thought they had more than that, but
No. Are you talking about the original or the original or the new ones?
The newer one. The
newer one only had like one or two seasons at the most.
Okay, it seemed like it was longer than that, but yeah, I liked He-Man then. Just the older I got, I couldn't collect the toys in as much, so kind of like stopped playing with the toys, stopped watching the show.
I actually still have some of the original toys in storage or in a box up in the attic, I believe. I have I don't have all the pieces, obviously, because I played with my toys when I was a kid. But,
yeah, that was another thing that got me, too.
But I still have a Castle Grayskull somewhere and some of the actual figures. The only thing with He-Man was He-Man was too big to play with my Star Wars and G.I. Joe action figures. Star Wars and G.I. Joe you can play with together.
Yeah.
But He-Man was a totally different thing. So, see, that's what happens when you get born too late. You don't get He-Man and G.I. Joe and Transformers toys, the original ones.
Now, I still had access to them. My aunt and my uncle collected all the G.I. Joe. They still fight about that today. Like, those are mine. Why aren't they at my house?
See, I do have all my G.I. Joes, and I had some Transformers, but Transformers are expensive back in the day.
They're always expensive. I mean, when I was buying Transformers, I remember for my Christmas present, I got money. So I said, let's go to Toys R Us. I got to buy Optimus Prime. Bought Optimus Prime. He was like $69.
Well, the one
that... $70 as a kid on that.
That's crazy. Optimus was huge, though, back then.
Oh, he was like half my size when I put him together on it. It was, yeah. Well, I never really put him. Well, he had two pieces. He had his, you know, his truck, and then he
He had the truck. The truck opened up into like a little base type thing. It had a gun.
Yeah.
It had the little wheelie cart thing.
Yep.
So
you remember that one. Well, they always kept like Optimus the same style.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's, and if, do you remember Ultra Magnus?
Yeah.
The toy for Ultra Magnus, he was a car hauling, like what you'd see, take new cars to he was a car hauling semi. But the white part of the semi was Optimus Prime with a different, color.
Mm-hmm.
And then the, trailer would actually turn into like an armor that he would set into and it would look like Ultra Magnus. But the actual truck itself was the same Optimus Prime truck.
Okay.
So.
The one also I had, we could transform them together with Jetfire. Jetfire, thank you. Him and Optimus Prime, I could form them together. He would be the upper body, would be Optimus, and then Jetfire would be the legs.
Awesome.
And also could use his gun and his wings, kind of basically what they did in the Michael Bay movie, but this was a little different.
But that's a tangent to another direction, way away from
completely. We went completely off rail there, but let's get back onto it. So,
well, let's get into some music. We don't ever talk about music on here because, I mean, there's been years and years of DC Comics music. What year was it here? It says in the article, in 2010, Water Tower Music actually put out a music of DC Comics 75th anniversary collection, which I actually have. That's where some of the music you guys hear at the end of our shows actually comes off of that album. I can bring it up here and tell you some of the music that was on that. But DC Comics is releasing another CD with more music from the history of DC Comics. Now, the first one, this is the first time DC Comics and Warner Brothers ever released an album. So the first song they put on there was actually the Superman March from 1941. The original Superman March from the, I believe that one is actually from the radio series. But then they have like the Superman theme from the Superman movie. They have stuff from the New Adventures of Superman, Lois and Clark, Superboy from the 60s, the cartoon, and the 1980s TV series on there. One Smallville track, then a bunch of Batman stuff. Then towards the backside of this album, you get the really good stuff. You get into stuff like in the 60s, before the Super Friends TV show, there was actually a series of DC Comics TV shows, and they were all done as shorts. And they would do in a half hour, you'd get two or three of these DC Comics shorts. But this has the, this is the first one. It has the theme songs from the, a couple of Super Friends ones, but they have one from the Justice League of America from 67, the, Teen Titans from 67, Aquaman from 67, the Flash from 67, then it's got the Adam and Hawkman that each had their own show. Then it has a little bit of Wonder Woman, it has the Swamp Thing theme from 91. It has all kinds of stuff on it. But they put that out. Well, Volume 2 comes out in July, I believe it is. According to the release here, you can pre-order it now on Amazon and iTunes, either the digital or the CD. And the CD is actually released on July 15th. But you can pre-order it now on Amazon and iTunes. And actually it says people who collect vinyl, if you collect records, there's a double vinyl version of the album that's going to be coming also. But we'll run through some of the tracks that jumped out in my head, jumped out at me when I first threw here. The first one they started off with, they started off again with a Superman from the 40s. It's actually the Baby from Krypton intro from the Superman radio show from 1940 with Bud Collier doing the voiceovers. Then we get into some Man of Steel stuff from Hans Zimmer. There's once again, this is heavily loaded with Batman and Superman, but that's what we've had a lot in media.
That's what they usually put out for their movies.
So there's Superman theme from the Ruby Spear Superman in 1988. Superman Animated Series theme is on here. The Can You Read My Mind is actually probably the second most well-known theme from the Superman the movie, the original one in the 70s. So that's on here now. They have Fight Night, one of the songs from Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice has made it onto this. But you have the 66 Batman theme, the Batman Animated Series theme, the Ballad of Batman from Brave and the Bold, Batman and Robin, Batman Takes Over intro, Why Do We Fall from The Dark Knight Rises, Christmas with the Joker, Jingle Bell, Batman Smells from the Batman Animated Series featuring Mark Hamill as the Joker.
Love that one.
Then we have Joker's Wild from 66, Mischief, the Harley Quinn theme from the Infinite Crisis video game is on here from 2015, Lex Luthor's Lair from the Batman, Superman the movie, Penguin Makes a Move from Gotham from 2015, or from the Gotham TV series. Okay, so they're putting in some, yeah, I noticed that farther down.
They're putting stuff from everywhere then.
They're pulling stuff from the entire history, and they're actually putting stuff from the TV shows that are out now in here too. Penguin Makes a Move is from Gotham. Then they go back to the 60s with Penguin's Umbrella. Then you go into the mid-70s with Challenge of the Super Friends. That's the one with where the intro talks about the Super Friends and the Legion of Doom fighting against each other. Then we have
the first cartoon, right?
Yeah. And then this one looks like it's actually a repeat from the first album because it's the theme from the Justice League of America from 1966. So I don't know if it's the same one that was on the first one or not. But we have the new Supergirl theme from the Supergirl TV series that's out now, just switched over to CW. Robin's theme from 1966. Oh, here you go. The Adventures of Super Pup from 1958. TV pilot they did.
Super Pup?
Yeah. I guess it says it's a pilot. That means that it probably never made it to to the show.
Yeah.
And then we're already on track 23, Super Friends. So we have the Legends of Tomorrow theme, Metamorpho from 1966, Get Your Cape On from 2015, The Flash TV series theme from 1990 with Danny Elfman. I love that one. Then you got Flash vs. Arrow from 2014, Wonder Woman from 1966, and then the Wonder Woman series 3 or season 3 theme from 1978. So you have a pick of all kinds of stuff from the entire history of DC Comics and entertainment on this. I know definitely I'm going to pre-order it as soon as I get off of here because I've been meaning to do it. I haven't done it yet. But so you'll be definitely hearing that. And actually, do you want to hear some of this, Vernon? They put up a sample track on here.
Hmm. Is it on the website too?
It's on the article I put there, and it's the Challenge of the Super Friends from 1978. You want to hear this?
Yeah.
This is a sample of some of the stuff that's on this album, Super Friends. As soon as it brings it up, watch, it'll have an ad first. No, it didn't.
Good.
Oh, wait. Helps to turn the sound back on.
Banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time. The Legion of Doom. Dedicated to a single objective, the conquest of the universe. Only one group dares to challenge this intergalactic threat. The Super Friends.
Now this was, I remember this was like must-see Saturday morning TV.
I have that on DVD. I have the volumes of that.
Yeah, I have volume one of this one on DVD. This is the only Super Friends I actually have on DVD. But this, I remember growing up, I had two sisters. So we were always fighting over who got to watch, because there was only one TV in the house when I was growing up. But there was, it was always a fight to see who would get to the TV first on who was going to get to watch what on Saturday mornings. This was one that all of us sat down to watch. Everybody watched Super Friends. That was just the rules. So that's one of the tracks that's going to be on this album, Super Friends. It looks phenomenal. We'll probably play more of it once we get the album in, but that's what's coming from DC Music. Now remember, that's July 15th is when that comes out, but you can pre-order it now on iTunes and Amazon for digital and for CD. So I'm going to just get it digital because I've just been doing that recently with most of mine anyway.
No,
so,
I'm doing that too just because I can't wait for the Scooby-Doo to get here.
Yeah, for the comics.
Yeah.
So, oh, and also, Super Friends, we've been talking about this Hanna-Barbera Beyond. This was on our show rundown, but I thought this was a great thing that I don't think anybody understood what this was going to do when it come out. Future Quest and Scooby-Doo Apocalypse both came out, what, last week?
Mm-hmm.
I get out of work at 3:30. My wife gets home at 4:20. We left and went to the comic shop. We were there at 4:45 in the afternoon. They were sold out of both of them, and he can't order them again until second printing is made.
And also, for me, when I knew that was going to happen, because it happened when I was trying to purchase the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Batman crossover. Same thing happened. So I said, I'll just order mine offline. Now, I wanted, if you guys remember on the show, I said when this first was announced, I was going to buy every single variant cover of the Scooby-Doo Apocalypse. Went online that same day. They only had three of them left for the variants. The Scooby-Doo variant cover and the Daphne main cover were gone.
Yeah, I think this is hitting a lot bigger than most of the store shop owners are expecting. This may be bigger than what DC was actually
expecting.
This
was online. Yeah, this was online. So at the store and online, these are sold out. That's crazy.
So we ended up having to buy Future Quest online to have it shipped to us. So as soon as those come in, though, we're going to give you we'll actually do reviews of the first four comics of each of these. A Future Quest number one, Scooby-Doo Apocalypse number one. I want to do a Flintstones and Wacky Raceland when it comes out. Let you guys know what we think of the first four out for DC or Hanna-Barbera Beyond. But I see the way this is selling and the way people are liking this, I foresee this. We're going to get more than just those four.
Oh, you think they're going to add more Hanna-Barbera?
Yeah, they would be dumb to not continue this. You know what I'm saying? Because
who else could they put out there? Because Future Quest is basically of everyone. We need a Jetsons, actually. I just thought about that. Jetsons was not mentioned at all.
You could do Jetsons. And actually, Future Quest, I found out, is actually not an anthology as much as all of those characters are in the same story.
Right. They're
coming through different portals or something. So,
yeah, I think each comic's probably going to have a different team or character in each one. Because I know we'll get into that when we review it. But in each one, it seems like they're having a new one.
Yeah.
The next one, we're going to go to a different character, and I like that. So that's why I was trying to figure out who else could they use, like I said, the Jetsons. But
No. At some point on Geek Watch 1, I was already talking to Kylan, we're going to go follow down the rabbit hole of Hanna-Barbera, and you would be shocked with the amount of content they've put out over the years. They started in the mid-50s.
Yeah.
And have been putting stuff out all the way through until the mid-90s is when they officially closed Hanna-Barbera, when Warner Brothers basically folded them into Cartoon Network.
Yep.
So this is when we fall down that rabbit hole, you'll see there is a wealth of stuff they can pull. They can pull stuff from all over the place you've never even heard of. So this is something that can do great. It may lead, hopefully, to a renaissance of the Hanna-Barbera properties. We may start to see them on TV and stuff again.
That would be nice. I mean, we're seeing some of them on there, but it's not what the old one's doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they have a new Scooby-Doo show out. For what it is, it is
They will
Scooby-Doo
always
again.
Have a Scooby-Doo show out.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a lot of people complain about the animation for it. It's like, hey, guys, you know how many times Scooby-Doo has been redone? Like,
yeah.
It's Scooby-Doo.
So
okay,
that's...
We got up next, review, we're going to have the Gotham season finale.
Yeah, we're going to cover Gotham and Arrow, and then we're going to get into the giant rabbit hole.
Yep, we've got a couple different finales to go over, but the first one is going to be Gotham.
The nice thing is, this time, you actually watched Gotham.
Yes, I did.
Did you watch any of the other episodes before that, or did you just watch the finale?
I just watched the last two.
Okay. Oh, so you saw the last two at least.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to go back and watch the rest of the season because it had its hits or misses, but it wasn't terrible. It was actually. I think I liked Gotham as much as I did Arrow this season.
That's why I was just about to say Gotham actually went over better with fans than what Arrow did. That,
yeah.
We'll get to what happened in Arrow that I think really screwed them up this season.
Yeah.
I know it turned me off.
Well,
I still watched it, but it wasn't because so much I was enjoying the show. I was wondering where the story's going to go.
Yeah. But the thing with Gotham, I told you earlier, this last episode for me was the most Batman episode or classic Batman episode I've seen on Gotham yet.
And it's funny you said that because actually the time that they made those books, that was when that whole kind of campy but serious dark tone Batman was still there.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Hugo Strange making the monsters. That was in the 40s?
No, I think I don't know when Hugo Strange was brought in, but it wouldn't have been before the 40s because Batman was invented in 39.
Yeah. He was one of, because Hugo Strange was one of Batman's first villains. I know that.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Wasn't he supposed to be basically the Lex Luthor for Batman?
Basically, but even when they made it, it was like, yeah, this is not Lex Luthor. This guy is a lot scarier. Lex Luthor would just buy me out of something. This guy
No. The original Lex Luthor was
Lex
a mad Luthor scientist.
Was just a crazy scientist. Yeah.
He was a mad scientist until the 70s, I believe, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's always been a super genius.
I know in the 90s.
In the 80s, he became an actual billionaire businessman.
Was the 80s?
But he's always been the smartest guy on the planet. Or one of them.
Oh, you're Superman guy. I'm Batman guy. But, no, Hugo Strange, this guy was scary. I mean, even back in the day, he had that crazy scientist look with the bald head, the weird round glasses, and that beard just creeped people out. At least to me, it did.
So, but why don't you tell him what happened on Gotham? Give him a quick recap.
Basically, Gordon gets cloned. And he gets stuck in the asylum, and they send a clone back out into society at the GCPD, and something's
Well,
off
no, that's not
him.
A clone. That's not a clone. That was Clayface.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was Clayface. They had actually made a mold of Jim Gordon's head.
I forgot
and
this
Clayface,
is
Clayface, yeah.
This is a different take. When you said this, I was seeing a different one. I was like, okay, that's a different Clayface than what I would be used to. But
well, no, really, Clayface, that's what he did anyway, except for he didn't need a mold to change his face. He would just do it on his own.
That was the thing.
So this time, he hasn't learned how to do that yet.
Yeah, but then again, the original Clayface was a little bit different from the one we know now. But so they sent him out back into Gotham, GCPD, while Gordon, Bruce, and Lucius is still trying to figure out how the heck to get out of Arkham, while Fish Mooney is trying to get out too. Penguin's doing his own thing. And Hugo Strange is trying to... Is this the Court of Owls he's talking to? Or is that official?
Yeah, that's who that is. Well, you gotta think, the secret council that runs the city?
True.
So
they're all work. This is all going on in one episode. But it was able to manage everything pretty good. I thought that Hugo Strange was gonna die at the end of this episode.
Yeah, I thought so too, especially when he got zapped by Mr. Freeze and Firefly.
Firefly, yeah. And also, Kat, she doesn't really know where she's at right now. I mean, she never really has, but to me it seems like by next season she's going to be full on straight.
No, she's always been the same thing on this show. She's always been on her side.
She has, but this one it felt like there was sympathy in her. Does that make any sense?
Well, yeah.
A lot more than what I've seen before.
Yeah, what it is everything except for when it comes to Bruce, everything else she's on her own side. When it comes to Bruce, they're showing that she actually kind of does care for him some without giving up that tough side.
Yeah.
the tough street side. So, but what did you think of the resurrected Fish Mooney? And some of the fun we can have with this new ability of power of suggestion and controlling people.
That's going to work a lot in her favor, but I don't know how it's going to play out. Like I said, I'm not really a big fan of Fish Mooney character or fan, so...
Yeah.
To me, she's always been that queen of Gotham.
Yes.
The underground queen. And that's one thing they can't take away from her.
Well, No, go ahead.
Penguin's back with her, at least it looked like, so I don't know how that's going to play out for next season.
Well, that's another character that's always looking out for number one. You've got to remember, even from the beginning, he found out whoever was the guy on top, it became that guy's right-hand man until he figured out a way to get through.
Right, but the thing about him, he really is afraid of Fish Mooney, but you know he's going to try to get the upper hand on her at some point.
So, well, that's because he remembers what Fish was like when she was originally there.
Yeah, and she's a lot worse now, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, I did the whole story that happened for the last two episodes. The best part of it to me was Hugo Strange. The whole him trying to make everyone monsters and take over Gotham, that was just straight out of the books.
Oh, yeah.
So I loved the
ginormous bomb reminded me of an oversized version from Batman the movie from 66 that some days you just can't get rid of a bomb. This ginormous bomb with the timer counting down on the bomb.
And I loved how they disabled the bomb.
Oh, water. Yeah.
I need water. Yes, water's the water's the key to break it.
That's how you disarm a bomb.
Water. It was like, we could all die.
Didn't you know that's how you disarm a bomb is you just dump water into it and it short circuits it?
Is that real?
Yeah, why not? So, the nice thing is, the parts like that, in this show, the way they've built it, the parts like that are so over-the-top unbelievable are what make it great. Yeah. That makes it, you know you're going to get that over-the-top unbelievable stuff in there, and I think that's just what part of the charm of this show. So that's why I said you got to go back and watch this with that point of view in your head that, you know what, you can't take any of this seriously. It's just supposed to be fun. The timeline doesn't matter because half the villains and stuff that are in this should not be around yet.
No, they shouldn't. Hugo Strange, Mr. Freeze, definitely. I just don't like the way they do Mr. Freeze. To me, it's only a certain way you can do Mr. Freeze because I didn't like how they did him in the New 52 either.
Yeah.
So.
He's actually, if you watched, did you see the origin of him on Gotham? Was that before you started watching or was that after you stopped watching?
I heard about.
Yeah, the origin wasn't that bad, and it actually... If you saw him before he became Mr. Freeze to now, yeah, I think you'd see him better because now it's like he is pretty much emotionless, just does what he's told. Mm-hmm. And that actually goes with the way he was made in this because Professor Strange, most of these people that he brought back from the dead, Mr. Freeze was dead. He was frozen solid and that they brought him back from the basically thawed him out, brought him back from the dead, so he doesn't have all the motivations of the Mr. Freeze from the comic books. Because I don't even know if he remembers his wife or anything. I think he was totally reprogrammed.
Yeah, that's the thing I didn't like, because that's the same thing they kind of do with the new one. They took away, he wasn't even married to her, he was just like stalking her. So I was like,
wow.
Without his wife, it just takes away from the character. That's his motivation. So without his motivation, it's like, why are you even here? That's, I guess, why I can't get into Mr. Freeze character.
What it is in Gotham is he's more of a chief henchman and not his own supervillain.
See, I hate that, though. In anything, they do that with the good supervillains, and they make them like a henchman to another supervillain.
Yeah.
I just can't get into that. It's just like, you know what? All I'm seeing is Bane with Poison Ivy all over again.
So that was most of Gotham, but there are some confirmations for next season. We have, I guess, there's some villains. Well, obviously, they just released a busload of monster supervillains into the city. Now, was any of those guys familiar that came out of the bus at the end of that show? Other than the big one at the very end of that, which we'll get after this.
I thought I saw Killer Croc for a second.
That's a lot of people are thinking the big scaly guy could be the Gotham version of Killer Croc. The other ones, I didn't recognize any of them. I don't know if you did.
That was the only one I saw.
Okay. But I know it's been pretty much confirmed that Matt Hatter will be in next season, probably with the Tweedle brothers.
Okay.
The big one from, let me see if I can bring this, well, I'm not worried about bringing it up. There was another one, but also Talon is supposed to be coming, which I guess he's a member of the Court of Owls.
He better
be. The villain. Well, I guess in the comic books, he's a member of the Court of Owls. I didn't read the whole Court of Owls saga, but.
I didn't read it at all, but my friend filled me in on everything. He was reading that while I was reading Outlaws. So.
Oh, that's the other one. The other one that they were teasing that looks like, I don't know if it was officially confirmed, but there's a good chance we're going to see Solomon Grundy next season.
Now, that's someone they could have been put on a show that I'd be so okay with.
Yeah.
It's Solomon Grundy. He's a zombie.
Exactly. You just want to see anything with zombies in it.
No,
I Zombie, Gotham with zombies.
I guess what I'm saying is they're zombies, so they can be brought up at any time in the show. So Bruce becomes like 25 and dealing with them is like, hey, it's a zombie. He can't die anyway.
So that was most of Gotham. I enjoyed this whole season. You're going to have to go back and watch the whole season so you can give it a run through. It may work better as a binge watch. A lot of these shows
do. I don't know about the whole season, but I'll go back and watch some episodes. And for our next one we got coming up is
Wait. We've got one other thing at the end of the show.
One other thing? Okay.
But the last guy to walk out of the bus.
Oh, yeah. That was Bruce, right?
That was the actor who plays Bruce in a really bad long-haired wig. And that's what I was thinking. I was doing some reading. I guess in the comic books more recently, Thomas Wayne actually had another son.
Yep.
And there's been 3 or 4 different takes on him. I guess one was he was stillborn. There's another one that he grew as soon when he was born, he was put into like a children's home or something. There's another one that he grew up in another asylum, not Arkham. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. I don't know anything about it. I guess it's Thomas Wayne Jr. is the character in the comics. So
yeah,
biggest theory I've seen is that that's who this is.
Me and my friend had a big rant on that because it was kind of like, I'm not going to get into that on the show, but if that is him, maybe they could even do better on the show than what they've been doing in books, because he's one of those characters to me that shouldn't even have been created.
Now, is he supposed to be a twin of Bruce?
Mm.
Because why would you have the same actor playing his brother?
Yeah, I don't know. Because in the comics, I thought it was just a brother of his. I think it was a twin.
But the way they had doing this, it looks like it could be doing it as a long-lost twin brother.
That I still think it might be a clone because they didn't explain anything.
The first thing I looked at.
I'm going to go with clone.
That's the first thing I saw when I saw that. So, but we'll definitely see that next season because this season's over. And that was the last shot of him. So, or the last shot of the villains was him. So, but let's move on from Gotham. We can move into Arrow news. Now, this season of Arrow wasn't my favorite.
Mine either. I thought it was going to be, but it wasn't. I actually like season 2 better.
I've heard it described on other shows and stuff as this was the Felicity season of Arrow. This instead of and the show went season 1, 2, 3 as Arrow, season 4 became Elicity.
Yep.
That's the whole show.
Yeah, I've heard fans even saying like the writers must have got all their ideas from Tumblr from all the fan fiction.
That's what I've heard too. The fact that this season was basically just a fan service season.
Yeah.
Everybody for 3 years was crying that they want to see Oliver and Felicity together. You want to see Oliver and Felicity together. Well, they got it, and it wasn't what
you
wanted to see.
Me and my cousin were not one of those fans that said they should even be together. Me personally, I loved her with Adam.
Yeah. Well,
that was a perfect couple.
I thought they were fine as a short term, but I still wanted
even
to see Black Canary with Oliver.
Same here. And that's one of the things I think that really turned off people about this whole season.
Well, I don't... The whole death of Laurel, I think, may not have been a story writing thing. That may have been a real life contract problem. So I guess
keep having those problems. Same with Roy Harper.
Yeah. Well, no, that he decided to go on his own. I think this one also, Katie Cassidy may have decided she was done. Because you remember Felicity, when they first wrote the show and pitched the show, Felicity was not even a character.
Right.
She was, Laurel Lance was supposed to be the lead female in the show.
Right.
But as people really took to Felicity, all of a sudden it's like they got switched and Felicity was the lead female in the show.
Yeah, and that's the thing that kind of messed up the whole story too, because if you remember season 1, someone pointed this out to me, he had that picture of Laurel in his wallet.
Yeah.
And he kept that in there. He always thought about her. But then it seemed like by season 3 and season 4, definitely, it was like, forget about her, I got her.
That's because a lot of that is because... Emily Bett Rickards that plays Felicity, just how phenomenal she is and how she's done that character. That they said, you know what, this character is indispensable.
Yeah. I just think they pushed her too much.
Yeah, this season they did too much.
They did.
So, but this last episode, though, let's run through that real quick. Basically, the episode is a continuation. That's the one thing I got on this one. It was a straight-up continuation of last episode. So they took last episode, they launched one nuke, or two episodes ago. They launched one nuke, and they and Felicity and her dad stopped it, and it hit a small town instead of a large town. So, okay. Well, this one, Damian Dark says, fine. You guys blew up my arc where I was going to save people. Forget it. I'm just going to blow up this. I'm going to blow up the world again. Anyway, so it's like the same episode, version 2, except for this time he does launch all the nukes. Or no, he doesn't get to launch them, does he? I just got done watching Apocalypse. So that has part to do with that. It's blending in my head a little bit. But
you just keep seeing nukes, huh?
Yeah. Well, have you read the reviews of that one yet?
No, I don't want to spoil it.
Then I'm not going to say anything else. But now I did spoil that there's nukes in them, though. In it, though.
I mean, that was in the preview, so I mean, you know. Anything that's in the trailer, I'll let it go.
Yeah. But yeah, in this one, Dark steals the one laptop that Felicity has that has all the Rubicon information on it. Of course, she put it all in a laptop, you know, on how to stop this thing. So now he takes his guy, and he's just going to launch all the nukes and destroy the entire world, him in it, because since his wife is dead.
Yep.
So, then we get the final showdown between Dark and Ollie, and Dark is now fueled.
And the city.
Exactly. Well, we'll get to that in a second. But Dark's magic, okay, we found out a couple weeks ago, is actually fueled by death. So the death of the tens of thousands of people from that one town are now fueling him. He's overpowered at the moment. And the idea was originally you destroy almost the entire world and he would have that much power. Well, the opposite side we find out of Damian Dark's magic is, would be the dark side and the light side. The light side magic is actually fueled by hope. Now, Oliver, before Damian Dark was supercharged, was able to, repel Dark's magic with the hope that Felicity has in him. Felicity was jumping through his head and taking care of it. The problem is, now that he's so supercharged, that's not enough, power. But he makes when everybody finds out that the whole world's about to die, the nukes are coming, everybody's, cause they did launch one missile, and it was heading for Star City, and everybody finds out, so you have rioting in the streets and looting and people fighting. Ollie basically gets up on the car like he did in the beginning of the season as Arrow and does the whole speech to the city saying we can protect our city in the beginning of the season. Well, now it's Oliver Queen that climbs up on the car and starts talking to the city and says, stop. We got it, and starts inspiring them to help each other, and we're going to make it through this. We've always made it through this in the past, and blah, 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 all that stuff. So when he actually goes to fight Dark, not knowing this, everybody that's in that area gets behind him to fight with Arrow. And thus, he actually gets the power of he gave them inspired hope and all of those people to help to fight Dark. So now, Damian Dark's magic won't work on Oliver because he's full of hope.
Yep.
Then you get the giant end season battle, which is Damian Dark versus Oliver and all of Hive versus all of Star City.
Yeah.
And it goes down, and Oliver actually gets to the point where he's got Dark ready, and unlike Slade Wilson and Malcolm Merlyn from the first two seasons, and who was the third? We had Oliver or
Ra's.
Ra's al Ghul. But unlike Slade and Merlyn, where he saves them and puts them in jail or prison or whatever, he actually kills Damian Dark. He says, no matter what, you're not going to stop what you're doing. He shoves an arrow through him by hand.
Yep.
So I'm hoping this is like, that was the, cause you can see in Oliver's eyes, he didn't want to do this, but he didn't have a choice at this time, which is different than the Oliver we get in the first season. First season, Oliver would have just taken the arrow and put it right through him. No problem. So we are seeing growth of Oliver, but after this is all done, the mayor is dead again, cause Ruvé Dark was the mayor. And for some reason, this town just can't keep a mayor. So Ruvé was mayor. She's dead. The city council gets together, and I guess even though he had pulled out of the race, he had still they said the voting they had, Oliver actually got 49% of the vote as write-in candidate. 49% of the people there still wrote him in as mayor, even though he wasn't running anymore. So they decided, you know what, we need an interim mayor until August when we can make another actual election, and they name Oliver Queen as mayor of Starling City, or Star City, sorry.
And I think that's going to go in order. So by the time next season starts, we'll probably see him as mayor.
Yeah.
Still. And then we'll figure out what's going to go on from there.
Well, remember, we had said also that, we had said before that next season they were talking about how it's going to be more about everybody else's, or the rest of the city's perceptions of Oliver. So this is where the start of that is, I believe. And also, I think the flashbacks for next season, we're going to see Russia. Because remember, through the series so far, we've seen that Oliver knows Russian. He has the Bratva tattoos, the Russian mafia tattoos and stuff that's got him in and out of different places. So, and that's the part of the story we've not seen yet. So I'm thinking that somehow next season he's going to end up in Russia. Because he has to go.
What characters they could put in there for next season then?
One of them they already talked about, I think it was Red Star. I forget what his name is. They actually mentioned him on this episode.
No, he's going to have to be here. He's the only Red Star I can think of. I thought he was with the Titans.
DC Comics, actually, their website has a pretty good secret spoiler section. That's it. Kovar is the name of the guy. Tatiana on the island, when she dies, she tells Oliver to go. He has to go back. Wasn't it to avenge them or something like that?
Yeah.
But at Tatiana's request, Oliver stops her and has to kill her because that's the only way the idol's not going to totally take over her body. So he ends up having to kill her. But that means she's not able to actually use her new abilities against Kovar. If you recall, she mentioned wanting to stand up to the Russian dictator in the last episode. Now, in the history of the comics, Leonid Kovar is also known as Red Star. He made his debut in Teen Titans number 18.
Yep.
Red Star received his powers of energy projection and enhanced strength and speed from an exploding alien spaceship. He was a member of the Titans in the early comics. However, in the Flashpoint timeline, Red Star was a member of Hive's Council. May be a continuation of, because remember, the Hive was still officially still around. I mean, Damian Dark took out almost their entire ruling council, but there may be still some of them out there.
The ones
there,
under him, too, though.
Well, you got Kovar's out there still, obviously, but that'll be next season is them going to see in him to take care of Kovar, I believe, which is where he's going to learn about Hive. Because you notice on the TV or on the flashbacks, he's still not learned about Hive, but when they mentioned Hive and Damian Dark, he knew who they were.
Hmm.
So that's probably our flashbacks part of the flashbacks for next season will be going to Russia to take care of that. So, but that was most of Arrow. What else was there in Arrow that you think? Except at the end, we have basically Oliver and Felicity, and that's it.
Yeah, the way they ended that, it feels like they're setting up. It really felt like to me they were setting up for the events that happened after Flash.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that also is like, not Flash, but Arrow and Gotham. And there was one other show I watched that it feels like they're setting the finale's cliffhangers were setting up for a break. Because everybody in Arrow, everybody's leaving, going their separate ways so that they can come back in 3 months to start Arrow again, you know? It's almost like they're taking a summer break, the characters. Gotham, Jim Gordon's leaving town, and all this other stuff is going on. And then in a couple months, he'll be back in town, and then you can say, oh, well, the last couple of months, this happened. So that you could almost say that the shows are happening in real time.
They are. I think they are.
So that's what it felt like. Diggle decides to leave, and actually, you see at the end, he's rejoining the army so that he can find his happy place, basically. He said he told Oliver and everybody that he felt he got too dark this season or this year, all the different choices he's had to make and having to put down his brother and stuff like
brother.
That. That's not him. He doesn't want to be that guy. So he decides to leave to find the last place he remembers that he was happy, which is the army in this case. Then you have Speedy that tells him that, you know what, when it came time to face Dark, she actually put an arrow to Damien's daughter's head.
Yep, I will pull it.
And she was fully intending to kill this little girl. She tells Oliver straight up, you know what? I should not be good with that. So she decides she's got to leave to once again find herself and figure out what's going on with that. And basically the entire team, except for Felicity, decides to walk away. So, by the time we get to next season, they'll all be back and we'll figure out where we're going from there. But next up on the list, as I close everything, is a little show called Flash. So, did you
DC
enjoy Flow?
DC show out for the whole season.
I was going to say, did you enjoy Flash?
That was, once again, it impressed me better than any other show that they put out.
Okay, I got to jump to the end of the beginning, before we start anything else.
That Jay Garrick costume.
John Wesley Shipp was announced to be on this show, I heard it from other shows, and I thought myself that the greatest thing they could do to pay homage to the fact that he was the Flash in the 90s.
And the fact that it got canceled back then, too.
Was to make him Jay Garrick. So that he can still be the Flash. And at the end of this episode, they made him Jay Garrick. So we'll get to that in a minute, though. But and that's actually something that I've noticed that Greg Berlanti and Kreisberg and the guys who make these shows have do really well is they'll bring in these legacy actors when they have when they're able to. Supergirl, they brought in Laura Vanderhort, they brought in Helen Slater and Dean Cain, which are all from the Superman family of TV shows or movies back in the past. In this one, they brought in Amanda Pace and John Wesley Shipp, who were the only other on-screen Flash characters that we've had. So, but the one thing that they do well is give them a real good reason to be there and something that really gives them homage to where they were. Amanda Pace plays the same character she did in the original show as Tina McGee, but now she's actually in charge of her own laboratories. And it's a different character, but it's the same character she was. John Wesley Shipp, they've made him the Flash.
Yeah, now that the fact they played the Flash and now he's playing an older version of Flash fits right back into where he's left off.
Mm-hmm. With Helen Slater and Dean Cain, they may actually, being Superman and Supergirl from before, they actually had, storyline-wise now, being Supergirl and Supergirl's parents on Earth, they had an effect on teaching her and raising her and basically being the John and Martha Kent role to Supergirl on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Superman and Supergirl teaching her how to be a person that influences her Supergirl. And then Laura Vanderhort, I think, has been awesome as Indigo, as basically one of the Brainiacs. And I think
because of this, that's why I have such a good insight of what the character will want to fight for.
Yeah. So it's like, that's one thing they've done well is when they bring in the legacy characters, they give them a reason to be there and a way for everybody to be happy about it. But why don't you go through some of what happened on Flash this week?
There was a lot of tributes from the comic books.
Yeah.
Like Infinite Crisis when Flash was running against the Anti-Monitor Machine. Then it was also the Black Flash. There's a Flashpoint, definitely a Flashpoint reference. There were the lightning rod. Iris will always be Barry's lightning rod. There were so many things that they pulled straight from the books. It was good for fans.
And lightning rods we'll get to in a little bit too with Rebirth.
Oh yeah, we definitely will. That's the thing that tied in with everything going on with DC right now. Once again, basically, it's just letting you know once Flash, anything that sets a reset button in the DC universe, no matter it's the TV, the cinematic universe, the comic books, Flash always resets that button. Because of his time traveling ability, that hurts a lot
of
different characters. Not always.
0 Hour wasn't Flash.
Hmm?
0 Hour wasn't Flash.
No, but.
And the original Crisis wasn't caused by the Flash.
The what was?
The original Crisis was not caused by the Flash. Flash had a major role in it, but he didn't cause it.
But after
the newer ones, since Jeff.
Infinite Crisis?
I think since Jeff Johns has taken over, the Flash always resets it.
But I love Flash, so anytime that happens, go for it. We did not get to see what happens to Wally after he got shocked with lightning. We do get to see
Nothing has happened to Wally yet, is what it is. Mm-hmm.
But we did get to hear Jesse say she wants to go back to Earth, too.
Yes.
So, they may have a new hero there. We don't know yet. Also,
they do have a new hero there because Jay Garrick went there with them.
True. I forgot about that. But I don't know how long he's going to stay there.
Yeah, until they find a way to get him to Earth 3.
Mm-hmm. And I doubt we're going to see him all throughout next season. We'll see probably a couple appearances from him.
Well, we do get the confirmation of a fourth Earth.
True.
Because we now have, and now the speculation that National City is Earth 3, it obviously isn't true because Earth 3 is where Jay Garrick comes from. So National City is Earth 4, 5, 6. It's just not been given a number yet. But that I have a theory on that possibly too. That may be changing also.
And what's the actress name that plays Harrison Wells?
Tom Cavanaugh.
He's going to be back for season three.
Yes.
Season three.
Now, so the whole Magnetar idea and the whole big plan of Zoom to destroy the entire multiverse except for this one planet.
This Earth.
What'd you think of that? That seemed like that was the only part of the episode that was okay, that wasn't great. All the other stuff was phenomenal, I thought. But the whole just overarching, I'm going to destroy everything so I can be the most powerful Flash speedster in the world and all this stuff.
Yeah, the thing I had an issue with the way they wrote off Zoom was just, I don't know, it felt like out of all season, they could have done that at any point.
Yeah, that seemed like a mid-season type of deal.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, the way they carried him off, like,
Flash. Well, no, what's the chances that we didn't see him die? What's the chances that the Wraiths actually, or he either becomes a Wraith, Or they've turned him into the Black Flash. Now he's the Flash of
that's
death.
That's one thing is going to happen. Now, I doubt we're going to see him again next season, but we'll probably see him at the end of next season.
Yeah. Although I do think we may see Eobarthon again next season.
Possibly.
Because you got to think, Barry's mom is alive. We'll get to that in a minute once we get through all of this stuff.
Yeah, because I thought we might see more of Grodd. Okay, I know fans have been wanting to see more of Grodd for next season.
Yeah. I don't know how much they're going to... Since it looks like at this point, Flashpoint is going to be the driving factor for next season.
But the way they did this, Flashpoint is completely different from what I thought they were going to do.
Well, yeah. A lot of stuff in this episode was completely different and surprising from what they did, what they were deciding. So,
and it wasn't a bad surprise. It was just now I'm curious of how is this going to play out.
That's fantastic, which we're fans that read and watch this stuff all the time, and they were able to surprise us.
Yeah, and when we can't catch or call something, you guys did a good job.
Yeah, they did a phenomenal job with this because of us. Or it's evidenced by us not being able to actually make the call. But I'm trying to think what other stuff happened in the episode. The Vibe, you can see, is actually starting to get a little more control over his powers.
Mm-hmm.
With the goggles and such. And I guess at the upfronts... the actor who plays Sisso and the guy who plays Wells teased that Vibe may be actually getting his costume next season.
Cool.
Jesse Martin,
I mean,
who plays...
help out Barry a lot.
Well, Jesse Martin, who plays Joe West, said it's about time he needs to get his costume. And the guy who plays Sisko, it's not top of my head, he's not on... I don't have the name. He said that he was very coy in jumping around it, but he said it could happen. So, but it sounds like it was one of those that he knows something that he can't say.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can hide that better than others.
That's a good thing to me, because it's like, you know, you guys are planning something. I'll be waiting for it.
Yeah. But it's pretty much all but confirmed, and everybody else is talking about how this is actually going to start a Flashpoint. Although, Stephen Amell on Arrow, they asked him straight up how much the events of Flash are going to affect Arrow, which Flashpoint should affect everything. This should reset... Legends, Vixen, Arrow, Flash, and even Supergirl.
Yeah, I was going to say, this probably is going to work after what happened with the end of this episode. It's probably going to work Supergirl actually into the universe, because how Flash went into hers.
Yeah, I'm getting that.
Like, you know any of these characters? She said no. If he comes back, she'd be like, yeah, I know who you are. No, you are. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, Stephen Amell was saying how Arrow works best when it's grounded in reality. And next season, that's what they're going to. So they may actually run this as two separate universes for a little while, where the Flash, through Flashpoint, created a new universe that maybe four or five episodes in, he goes back and lets his mother die because he sees all the changes, lets his mother die again and to reset the universe back to normal.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is really, if you read Flashpoint, that's what happens.
Yeah, that's what happened, but I don't know. That was the thing that was worrying me with season four of Arrow. It was, they were built in reality for the first couple of seasons. That worked for them. Then when they tried to mix in some of the comic book stuff with the powers, the metahumans, it didn't work completely for them. But to me, if they just go full on, just comic booky, just have the whole metahuman concept and just do it, don't worry about being realistic, just be Green Arrow, I feel like they would do good. So I don't know about them going back into molding the reality.
Well, I think, they're going to, they can't take metahumans out of this now. And magic and metahumans exist in that world. So, but I'm thinking Ollie and his part of it is going to be more grounded. I think you're going to have a lot more stuff about, Mayor Oliver Queen and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, but, like I said, Flash, it looks like at least they may do it in the first episode. That in the premiere episode next season, all of a sudden, when Barry comes back, he realizes what a mistake it was to save his mother. And he goes back, and you have three Flashes in the room then, instead of the two. Well, you remember, as soon as he saved his mother, the other Flash disappeared.
The other Flash went away.
Because he totally erased that timeline, so everything that's happened since then is gone.
Yeah.
So everything he's done before, all the Eobarthon stuff, all the Earth 2 stuff, everything is totally gone.
Just like Flashpoint.
Exactly. So, like I said, I'm wondering if we don't get one or two episodes and Arrow keeps going normal because we're going to come back to the original universe. So Arrow and Legends and all those come back to stay normal.
And this is going to hurt Legends. Oh, man, I wonder how this is going to do with Legends. I'm pretty sure if Hourman's in the next one, he might be in the loop of what's going on.
Yeah, well, I have some theories on that, too, and some stuff that I read on. We'll get to that as soon as we're done with this, because that has to do with Jay Garrick also.
Okay.
But it looks like, hopefully, they're not going to stay in Flashpoint, or they could stay in Flashpoint for the whole season, even.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. I mean, even after the events of Flashpoint, we don't
know about. It can't be. It has to, because they're going to do, they already confirmed a 4-show crossover with Legends, Arrow, Flash, and Supergirl.
We don't know what time and space they'll be.
Yeah, we don't know that. We don't know.
That'll play a big part of it.
Flashpoint will probably, or the Flashpoint universe part of this will probably be over before that.
Maybe. Probably. Probably,
so
yeah.
So that Wally's back in, or so that Barry's back in the universe with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's what it looks like. We're going to end up with an alternate universe for a couple of episodes or so, and then come back to the regular universe and move on from there. But you were saying with Hourman, Hourman's a member of the, and he actually, on Legends, isn't he actually mentioned that he's part of the Justice Society of America?
Justice Society.
Well, who was one of the other founding members of Justice Society of America?
Alan Scott.
Well, that we've seen on these shows.
Oh, with Jay Garrick.
Jay Garrick is a member of the Justice Society of America in the comic books. So, what's the chance that Hourman on Legends is actually from Earth 3?
Probably.
So that we actually can get the introduction of the Justice Society. Well, in Earth 2, remember in the police station, they had the Justice Society logo. And the actual motto, I guess, from the Justice Society was on the wall instead of what they had at Central City in Earth 1.
Hmm.
There was a little Easter egg that was in there. The mural on the wall. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I wonder if they're actually going to play up on there, or will that just be an Easter egg?
I don't know. But John Wesley Shipp was teasing on an interview that he did that Jay Garrick does have a larger role as we're coming in the future, and he actually mentioned Legends of Tomorrow also, so he may be actually going to Legends.
That'd be sweet.
There's another new character for the ship, so you end up with Flash on the Flash TV show and another Flash on Legends.
Nice. I can deal with that.
So that was what happened on Flash. We don't know exactly what's going on from there, but we need to get into Rebirth.
We do.
Now, we've been talking about Flashpoint a lot on this Super Friends, but Flashpoint started, they used Flashpoint to start the new 52 and restart the universe, restart the DC continuity. Well, when they did that, as we've said before, they took away the history of all the characters. Superman was brand new. He's never had any past. Batman kind of had a modified past, didn't he?
Batman was the only one they kept the same origin, really, for.
But they, they kept his history
some too,
didn't
overall,
they?
He was the same.
Yeah. I thought they kept some of his history in there, too. Not all of it, but some of it.
Yeah, he was the one that had still the closest history to those original pre-52.
Yeah. But you get stuff like Superman and Wonder Woman dating. Lois Lane's friends with Superman, but in the last, six months? Yeah, in the last 6 months, she actually outed him as Superman and Clark Kent, the same guy.
And then Steve Trevor had a crush on Wonder Woman, but that never really went too far. And
Something happened with it, because before I read Rebirth, it says right on in the front of Rebirth that this actually takes place after the events of Justice League number 50 and Superman number 52. So I bought those on Comixology and read through those. Which actually, now that I've read that, the Justice League number 50 is actually the last of the part 10 of the Darkseid War. I'm gonna have to go back and read the rest of those. This was an amazing, comic. But it's definitely Superman is not the lead front guy. He's there, but it's more like Wonder Woman was the leader of the team of the Justice League. Wonder Woman and Batman.
Yep.
So it's like, obviously they're gonna fix that with Rebirth now, but, because everything, all the other times, Superman is, if he's in the room, he's in charge.
Right.
So, but Rebirth, and the most exciting thing I saw in all of Rebirth is the one thing that the New 52 didn't do, or took away that I was all upset about,
was
my favorite character in all DC Comics was gone.
Wally West
was wiped out by Flashpoint and Rebirth. Well, this, I have the comic book right in front of me, Super Friends. I'm flipping through, and the third page, or the fourth page of this, Wally West is back. And he's actually got his yellow and red suit.
Exact same before New 52 happened.
Exactly. In the first couple pages, they actually tease what might be coming because of the way they talk about it. And they're talking about this watch that this guy got from his uncle. And he's looking, and the thing is, he's looking for what happened in Darkseid War. actually caused a rip in reality and allowed him into this reality, but he's still basically a being of energy at this point where he's born with the Speed Force, but he's in the reality of the New 52. So he's trying to find, we mentioned earlier, the lightning rod. Now in this, speedsters, if they break, usually it's if they break the speed of light. And Barry and Wally are the two that have done it the most. They actually become pure energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, once they become pure energy, they can't figure out how to get back out. And that's where you need what they call is a lightning rod, where with Barry, it was always Iris. He can always, no matter where he's at, he can find Iris. And as soon as he can go get to Iris, he can slow down and come back out.
Yep.
With Wally, it was always Linda Park, his wife. In the comic books, in the 2000s, he actually has two kids who become speedsters also.
Speedsters also, and one
his son and daughter.
Yeah.
So, in this, he's. Go ahead.
I was also going to say I loved how in the Flashpoint comic, Barry tried to get his lightning rod back to a certain extent by talking back to Iris, and she didn't even know who he was.
Exactly.
She already had a family and a kid, so that broke that off. But it's funny because the person that helped him get everything back to normal was Batman, but Thomas Wayne's Batman for this Earth, or this reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that the first person Wally went to in the rebirth was Batman, Bruce Wayne. And it didn't work this time, but I just thought it was kind of funny how that went in order. They kind of basically paid homage to each other from Barry to Wally.
Yeah. Well, this here is awesome because it's going to bring... Like I said, the whole purpose of Rebirth is to bring the legacy and the history back to these characters.
And Wally was unconscious.
By bringing Wally in. And Wally, he was always a comedian. He was always having fun. He was clowning. But he also was basically, they've even said, Wally and Barry together both have made the heart of the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
These are the guys that, if it comes to an emotional type decision, these guys are making the right choice.
Well... And all out through this book, no matter how, I would have been freaking out, like, oh man, I can't get back to reality. How am I going to get back in here? How am mm-hmm. I going to get everyone to remember me? Wally just said, okay, you didn't work. All right, we'll go here. Oh, you didn't work? Okay, I'll
go
here.
Well, the Speed Force is bouncing
around.
Man,
I'm dying soon. I'm going here. He just always had that positive attitude.
Well, he wasn't making the choices. If you remember, he's just bouncing around. The Speed Force is taking him to these different places. But
okay,
what you
I thought he had control of that a little bit.
In the very beginning, Batman,
so
now the end of during Darkseid War, the Justice League actually do become gods. And Batman becomes the god of knowledge, flying around in the Mobius chair.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, anybody who doesn't know.
Got the whole,
you
Joker
wanna,
thing going on.
The Mobius chair is a part of the New Gods storyline, isn't it?
Yes.
It's Mobius or Morpheus, something like that. But
he sits in the chair.
He basically is, I don't know, would he almost be like one of the Watchers, but from
Watchers
DC Universe?
Yeah,
it'd be like the Marvel's Watchers.
Mm-hmm.
But the chair has all the collected knowledge from all of history and all of the universes. Any knowledge that is ever needed, it has. Well, the last thing Batman asks before he gets, finally is able to get out of the chair was, what's the Joker's real name? And the chair actually doesn't tell him. The chair says there are three.
Yep.
So we have no idea what's going on with that. That's a tease for what's coming up.
Sorry, this is going to spoil a little bit before we get
there.
We're
spoiling everything.
I have to bring up what happened at the end with the Watchmen being introduced.
Oh, yeah.
Someone said maybe one of those Jokers could be a comedian.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Just putting it out there. Might not be, but that would be interesting.
Yeah. So he finds out there's three Jokers somehow. But then after that, all of a sudden the cave is struck by lightning inside the cave. And Wally shows up.
Yep.
And obviously Bruce has no idea who he is because this is after Flashpoint and such. But when Bruce doesn't know who he is, Wally keeps saying, I know you. Ask Barry who I am, basically.
Now, what did that remind you of that we've seen recently in media?
I don't know. What?
It reminded me from Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, yeah. Am I too late? Am I too early?
Yeah, Bruce! And I was thinking to myself, this is exactly from the movie. But...
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. Cause I'm like, the movie, in that sense, the movie did good because there's certain things with the characters that they will always do. And the fact they popped up in the Batcave too was just awesome.
This comic actually, as you go through it, does do something that they did in Batman v Superman was when they introduced the Justice League there, just a real quick boom, boom, boom. Well, this comic does a lot of that with introducing some of the characters you're going to see that affect Rebirth as we go forward.
Yep.
But the next page is after the Batman scene, you actually get a very condensed, origin story for Wally West. Because as some of these super friends now, these super friends that are listening to this, you probably know all about Wally West and know exactly who he is. But there are readers out there that have started after Flashpoint started and may not have even heard of Wally West.
Yeah, well, it was funny because, like I said, even on the Justice League animated series, a lot of people thought that was Barry, and it's like, no, that was Wally.
Yeah. Well, he calls himself Wally on there. A couple times mm-hmm. they call him. So, but they give a condensed history of Wally West and what happened, and then with Barry coming back, and then we find out that now we find out that the New 52 wasn't because of Flashpoint in this. Supposedly, when Barry reset back out of the Flashpoint universe, someone somewhere made some changes.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you know any of the continuity reboots they've done in the past with Zero Hour, with Crisis, with some of the other ones, stuff changes when they go back, when they've, after the event. Zero Hour changed things after the event. That's why they give you that whole timeline at the end of it. But, this one, according to Wally, someone erased 10 years of history.
Yep.
Out of the universe, and that's why everything's all different all of a sudden. And that's why Wally's gone, things like that.
And, before we get to reveal who that was, it was...
Actually, it's not revealed in here, really.
No, but we kind of know the nod they're going for.
You think you know who it is.
We think we know. I'm pretty sure we know who that one is. If not, that would be a big what-the-F moment.
Well, one thing with Flashpoint... Actually, when we get to the end, I'll talk about what Flashpoint did before we get into what you think is going to happen here. But go ahead with where you were at.
I was just saying how it was kind of heartbreaking to see him go to his best friend, Dick Grayson. He doesn't know who he is. Then his lover, Linda, doesn't know who he is.
Yeah, that's the one thing. Linda's always been his lightning rod. He gets to Linda to try to get her to help him out, and she's not there.
Yep.
Or she has no idea who he is.
And that crushed him. Just that the whole scene where he's like, please, God, no, don't let this be the one. Yeah. It was just like, yeah, that was sad.
Well, I had a question here. You read my copy of, so you don't have it in front of you, but the scene where, who is that? The two police, or the policewoman is talking to someone else who has a Legion ring. Who is that? The blonde lady with the Legion ring. Is that Saturn Girl, or?
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
But we could be wrong, because they didn't really reveal that. We see the ring, so.
She just, she's being questioned by the police. Now, this one was a little weird, that she, supposedly, this lady was arrested for stealing food off of a food cart type deal. And for some reason, she's arrested and being interrogated by the police. And she says where she comes from, food is free. So she didn't understand why she was arrested to start with. But shoplifting some food from a food cart, why would you be being interrogated by the police?
I thought that was just how they were trying to introduce her.
Yeah. So
I didn't put too much thought into that part. It was just more so, why aren't you... Super right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, it says that basically the whole reason she's here is to talk to Superman. So, we gotta figure it out.
Which Superman? That's why. Well,
exactly. We got, two or three of them? We have two of them now after Superman number 52. So, there was another character right before that, the old guy that he's talking to.
Yeah,
I'm looking. It did say who he was. That one says who he was.
I was like, is that Jay? But then I'm like, no.
No. Where to go?
That couldn't be Jay. So, I had no idea who that could have been. I just know it was like some old crazy guy. But he looked like he was part of the Justice Society.
Yeah, he is a former member of the Justice Society. I'm looking at the pages, doing a quick read through them. MacArthur said, take your mask, put that power job. Oh, that's probably Johnny Quick, because he... Wally calls him Johnny. And that's why the lightning would take him there, because he actually has a connection to the Speed Force, or he did. I believe that's Johnny Quick. It's a very, very old Johnny Quick, but...
Yeah.
And then you go to another scene with the girl with the Legion ring, so it's someone from the Legion. The next scene is an intern or an assistant for a certain Professor Palmer. He's been yelled at by the dean because the professor's not been there for like 2 weeks.
Yep.
And then he finds out that Ray is actually in the Microverse. He's been stuck there for a while, and he needs this guy to come into the Microverse to help him out. So it looks like we're going to have two Atoms for a little bit.
Yeah, and you know that the guy is the second Adam, right?
Oh, okay. I didn't know there was two Adams.
Yeah, well, there was the Ray Palmer. I can't think of the second Adam's name. Then he took over.
Mr. Troy.
That's why,
something Troy. Okay. Oh, Ryan. Ryan Troy.
That's why in like the next page, if I'm correct, is the two Blue Beetles, correct?
Yeah, the Blue Beetles are next. And it shows
I love that, because it was like, okay, we got the one Adam, we got the other Adam working together. Cool. Then we got one Blue Beetle and the second Blue Beetle working together. I was like, that's sweet. That's what fans, I think, I've been wanting that as a fan, because we missed out on the original Blue Beetle with the Rebirth.
Yeah.
Ted Kord. And Ted Kord was my favorite Blue Beetle.
Well, and in this one, it looks like Ted Kord was not the Beetle at any point either, but he's a mentor for the Beetle.
Right.
So, and then you get, actually, Dr. Fate shows up at the end of that scene to talk to Ted
Kord.
Yeah,
that was awesome, too. And he was like, I don't know who you are, but you're freaking me out.
And in the next scene, you get, the next scene is just two panels, and it's Damian blowing out a 13th birthday cake, Damian Wayne. And that's it. And then you see a grin on his face. But then you get into a two-panel. Now, these ones blow through pretty quick. The next one's a two-panel spread of the new Green Lantern, the new female Green Lantern. And basically, she doesn't even know who Sinestro is yet.
Yep.
So that's just a quick setup for that. Then you get a two-panel of, I believe this is Firestorm Jackson?
Yes.
And it looks like Jackson from Firestorm, which is weird because in the... Legends of Tomorrow comics right now, Jason is what he's called, not Jackson. No, wait a minute. You're not that...
Yeah.
No. What's the, what's Aqualad's Calder?
Oh, yeah, no, that's the second Aqualad.
Is that Calder? Okay, that, well, we know him as Calder from, Young Justice. But yeah, life on Earth? Or on the, surface?
Oh, yeah, he was on the surface before he even knew he had Lanyan powers, because he's the son of Black Manta, so...
So that's why it's talking about what he did in the water and how he was swimming really fast or something.
Yeah, he was basically same as Aquaman. It was like, oh, I've been on Earth this whole... Or been on land this whole time. I can swim really good.
Yeah.
Water, fish.
Well,
this is not right with me.
This book is actually laid out in chapters as if it was individual comics.
Yeah, so I thought that's what they were going for, actually.
So, And then we go through, I don't know who this last one is, but the girl who disappears in the alleyway.
Dr. Manhattan blew her up.
Is that what that looks like? Is that what you think it is?
That's what I thought. Not really, because when she blew up like that, I was like, that had to be Dr. Manhattan. And she was introduced in the new 52 comics. She was supposed to be like, it was her, Question, and I think it was the Phantom or something, or like the Trinity of, I can't really remember, but they were like the three main reality gods, kind of.
Okay.
It was like the ones you knew was running the universe, but you didn't know them. But they're the ones that's doing everything, or keeping control of everything, making sure everything's intact. So when she blew up, and if the way she blew up, I'm like, that would make sense for her to go because of Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah. But, and a lot of this now is also, these are just showing what Wally's seeing as he's learning about this new universe.
And it is tearing him apart. That was tearing us apart. Like I said, Wally was the conscious... For all the fans that had problems with the new 52 and wanted it to be fixed, it's like, this is wrong, my mind is blown, relationships are getting torn apart, love is gone, something's missing.
Yeah.
And also with the Titans, when Dick Grayson was sitting down Dick Grayson was talking to him saying, we're going to get this plan going, going to get this team going, but something feels like it's missing. And then that's when we first ever seen that lightning bolt. So a lot of things that's been missing in the comics... Wally was just a voice for every fan that was thinking something's wrong. Like I said, the ties have been broken up.
Mm-hmm.
Our relationships are broken. The love is gone.
Well, until this point, Nightwing's not even a superhero anymore. He's a spy. Dick Grayson's a spy.
Yeah.
So it's totally different on everything there. But next one up is actually the next thing that happens is Wally ends up pulled to this place where he heard a scream. And there's this lady with a bunch of weird tattoos. And a baby with red glowing eyes. Now, if you've watched, if you read The Dark Side War in Justice League number 50, you find out that when Diana was born, Wonder Woman was born, she actually had a twin brother who was the first man to ever step foot on Themyscira. And you find out his name is Jason. Then and this lady's talking to this baby and calls him father. That's because this girl is the daughter of Darkseid, and the baby is actually Darkseid. Now, you got to go back to Justice League number 50 and the Darkseid War series to get the rest of the information about that one. But the next thing you go to is a big splash page of where Superman died. Now, this is from Superman number 52. And if you want, have you read any of the last days of Superman storyline, the new 52 Superman actually just died of kryptonite poisoning. Now, the original Superman, Clark White is what they're calling it, because when Lois and Clark from the other universe came over here, they actually took the last name White. for Perry White, but that way they would, that way they could actually have names and not get confused with Lois and Clark Kent. So, but, he actually, Clark White comes over and helps out, the Superman to defeat the guy who's fighting him, but Superman actually ends up dying. And then, our Superman takes off after that. And everybody's like, wait, who are you? You look like Superman and all this stuff. And it just flies away. So the next scene is every morning and the FBI's cordoning off the area where Superman died. But Wally's watching this, and the next scene shows Wally talking about how in this new 52 universe right now, Oliver and Dinah work together as on the team, but they barely know each other. Whereas where he comes from, Oliver and Dinah are a match made in heaven. They've been, you cannot separate the two of them.
Yeah.
So that's part of what's wrong with this world in his view. The next scene you show, Superman and Lois laying, Clark and, Lois White and John in a motel. And, Clark's talking about how he needs to help people, but he can't be Superman. They're waiting for actually Superman to return because they realize in this world, they've been watching all the events that happen in this world, but they're not, but a lot of the same events happen that happened in his life originally, but in
like
a different way.
He's talking about
the whole,
you know, Lois even bring up Doomsday.
Well, yeah, Superman actually, they talk about how Superman died in this, except instead of Doomsday killing him, he dies of kryptonite poisoning. So just like in their world where Superman comes back from the dead, they're expecting this Superman to resurrect somehow. So that's what that scene's about. But then some guy with a scythe shows up and says, call him Mr. Oz, which is another one that'll be something in the future probably. Next scene, we get to see Aquaman and Mera. It's a scene that sets up for Aquaman proposing to Mera. The next scene, finally, Wally finds Linda. And Linda's actually part of the news around the Death of Superman site. And he shows up to Linda to try to be the lightning rod. Linda, you're awesome. You're there. And then he's like, it's me. It's Wally. Take my hand. And she's like, who the heck are you?
Yeah.
As soon as she doesn't remember him, he's like, he gets sucked back into the Speed Force because that obviously wasn't his lightning rod this time. The next couple scenes, we see some of the characters that are coming up. One is, what's the new two-person team that's going to be in Gotham? Do you remember? Is that Squire and, is Knight and Squire or something like that? You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Squire. I know who you're
talking
about,
but
I can't remember
who this is.
That sex scene.
They're talking about, they're just in Gotham. It shows the bat signal. It says, the signal Gotham.
Oh, okay.
And he says, it's not for you, not yet. Or it's not for us, not yet. The next scene you see is actually Constantine and Swamp Thing in the
Swamp. Yeah, I love that part.
Then you flip through and you see it's just one panel each showing that he appears to Captain Boomerang, to Cyborg, and to Dick Grayson, and none of them can help.
None of them remember.
I didn't know the origin of this Wally West from the New 52 universe and who he actually is. He's not actually the nephew.
This is Wallace West.
Yes, and what it is in this they talk about how there is a Wally West in this, but what it is Wait, had a sister and a brother. Yeah,
yes,
Wally's dad was Iris's sister. So we know that uncle. But his uncle Daniel, which Iris had two brothers, Wally's dad and this guy named Daniel. Well, Daniel was like the black sheep of the family, according to this. And then he ends up having a son who he also names Wally after his grandfather.
Right.
So they ends up with cousins that are both named Wally, and that's who the Wally West from the New 52 universe is. And of course, the Speed chooses him, and we end up with the modern Kid Flash or whatever he's being called. And in this, he had chosen to not be the Kid Flash anymore, but obviously we've seen from the artwork before that he does become the Kid Flash again. And then the next one he shows up to, or the next one he's shown, is Barry, where it all started from. And if anybody who knows Flash knows that the Speed Force started with Barry. Or I think it was always there, but he was basically what is considered the original Speedster, and everything goes forward and back from him.
Everything is because of him now.
And it shows him saving people, how he was the guy that still, when he'll save someone, then he'll stop and talk to them for him, make sure they're okay. Kids needed some pizza at a fire that they got burned down, their house was being burned down, so he goes, tips the restaurant, and then takes a bunch of pizzas over for the kids. He's that type of guy. Barry's the guy that would help everybody. He would stop exactly what he may be the fastest man alive and be moving at 9 billion miles an hour, but he'll stop to pet a dog, to help a little kid who's crying on a street corner. That's who Barry is.
That's the similarity between him and Superman.
And then you find out that Barry is Wally's lightning rod in this. He shows up to Barry, and Barry doesn't know who he is either, and he starts to disappear again.
And he then, says, thank you for everything. That was
he
the
thanks
part
Barry,
that just hit
is saying goodbye
heart.
To Barry finally. And then out of nowhere, Barry, goodbye.
Closes his eyes and like,
closes
opens
his
back
eyes
up
and all of a sudden,
grabs him.
He grabs a hold of Wally as he's disappearing because all of a sudden something dawned on him. He starts remembering.
And he starts breaking down to you saying, how can
original,
I forget you?
Exactly. He remembers everything that happened. And now all of a sudden he remembers the original storyline also. So now he remembers the New 52 that he's part of, and he's remembering the original pre-Flashpoint universe. So now and that's the one thing that grounded Wally, that now, poof, he's in this universe and back to normal. So then the last scene we get to is the same place we started, in the Batcave. And Batman, Wally, when he was there, said, in order to remember, you got to remember this letter. And he gave him a letter from Thomas Wayne. And he had said, find Barry and try to remember this stuff. So he's looking around. It's driving in his head all this stuff that's been going on, Batman, because he's just a big thinker. He's going to think these things out. And he goes over somewhere in the Batcave, and there's like a little flashy light. So he starts picking wall of the Batcave. He pulls out a smiley face button with a gunshot to his head and blood. It's the Watchman symbol. If you think of Watchmen, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Now, the original Flashpoint, it added the Wildcats to the DC universe. That is where Grifter was added after the New 52.
Mm-hmm.
So the Wildcats were added from Image Comics originally, in Wildstorm, were added to DC through Flashpoint. Also, Constantine and Swamp Thing were brought from Vertigo to the DC Comics, to the main storyline of DC Comics through Flashpoint. So it looks like they're going to use this to bring the Watchmen into the mainline DC universe. And then you get the epilogue. It goes back to this whole story started with a watch. And it was a watch from Barry that he gave to Wally so he could always be on time. Well, this all goes back, and the watch is being rebuilt. Hang on. Let me look to see if, yeah. The watch is being rebuilt back together, and it talks about how time never stops, and that's the end. And the last line of the whole the whole comic is, the clock is ticking across the DC universe. And Rebirth was, I thought it was amazing. This was one of the best reads I've had
I've read in years. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just something that was new and I loved. I didn't have to go toward an old book and say, man, that really hit me home.
Oh, yeah.
This was new and this was amazing. Like you said, this is the best comic book I've read all year so far.
Well, over the next
new comic,
over the next 2 months, we're going to have 3 to 4 Rebirth titles every week. To actually tell the rest of this story.
And, wanted to confirm that was Saturn Girl that was in the chair.
Was that? Okay.
Yeah.
So, but talking about what comics are coming out each week, what actually brings us to our next part of the show. And once again, I want to thank the Shazbots for providing the comic book shop for us for our pull list. This is our pull list for, I don't have my calendar right up in front of me. This is the pull list for New Comic Book Day. Come on. There we go. New Comic Book Day, June 1st. And this is actually the first set of Rebirth comics is going to be on here. But go to Facebook and check out the Shazbots. They provide the comic book for us. They have a bunch of other songs that are fantastic. They're check them out. Let them know that DC Comics sent you. So, but for this first day of new comics for June, what was your number one pick, Vernon?
My number one pick, still going to have to go back with this one because love it. Injustice Gods Among Us, Year 5, Issue 11. Harley has a lot to get off her system, and the first person who's gonna get the dose of it is this guy she had a brief crush on, Shazam. But, now Shazam not buying Harley and selling, so things are about to get complicated. Meanwhile, Superman pays a visit to a man who he once, headbutted him. And, the cover is done by David Yondern, written by Brian, Bruce Balotello.
Okay.
Comics 299 and pick it up, I say. So this is going to be pretty interesting with her having a crush on Shazam, but I never would have saw that one coming.
Well, the fun thing is, how is how's Billy gonna handle this? Cause she's straight up crazy, and he's what, 12?
Well, she's hot and crazy, so he's 12, so he's not thinking about the crazy part. He's like, but from the cover of they're going at it. Now, she's trying to throw a mallet at him, and he's just holding it like, look here, you need to do this.
Yeah, when you're being as powerful, if not more powerful than Superman, a mallet's not going to do much.
Now, in the Injustice comics, they did pull some blood samples from Superman, where at one time, I think the whole city had his blood, so everybody was very strong, so I don't know if she got that back, because if so, that would be an awesome fight.
Yeah. Well, you said that was Injustice, right?
Right.
So that's not part of the mainstream DC universe.
No. This is just an Injustice story right by itself.
So, but my number one is actually Superman Rebirth number one. Now, I have to choose Superman if it's on there. Superman and Flash, like I said, are my guys. But Superman Rebirth, now, remember, we just said the Superman of the New 52 died. So all we have left is Clark White. Well, it says the world needs a Man of Steel since he just... But can Superman protect the world while raising a super son with his wife, Lois Lane? And it says, it begins. Now it's Clark's turn to be Pa Kent and teach his son what it means to be super. But who is hunting Superman's son and why? Now, if you've been reading the Lois and Clark, Superman Lois and Clark series about these two and Jonathan Kent, John has actually just started to get his powers. They've started to manifest. At the end of the last comic from last week, number 8, he actually is floating off the ground. So that's where he's talking about how Clark has to teach him how to use his powers and how to be super without destroying or without causing problems. You know what I mean? All the stuff that his father had taught him on how to be a man and how to be good, he's got to teach that to his son now.
This is a great read because it's bringing back, like I said, the classic Superman.
Oh yeah, he's bringing back the Superman. But yeah, this was actually written by Peter J. Tomasi. The cover art was done by Doug Menke, and then art is by Jamie Mendoza and Doug Menke. So, and this is, like I said, I've been enjoying the story of Lois and Clark anyway, so this is going to be fantastic. So what's your number two? You chose one of the ones I wanted too.
My number two is Green Lantern Rebirth number
one. That's it.
This is going to be about the creative powerhouse of Geoff Johns puts a ring on again as he co-writes Sam Hafser and artist Ethan Van Sciver debut their era of the Emerald greatness. Rookie Green Lantern Jessica Cruz and Simon Braz tackle the universe toughest battle, Earth. So this is what I was thinking was really, really weird for Rebirth. They have two Green Lanterns at the same time. I know previously we had Hal Jordan.
Well, as of right now, you have...
Then we had John. Then we had Kyle. But it was at separate times.
Well, that's like, out of the entire universe, we have six Lanterns from Earth.
Right. And I'm okay with that, but it's always a different one each time while the other ones are doing anything in the galaxy.
Yeah.
Because the galaxy is way bigger than Earth. The fact that there's two on Earth is going to be very interesting. I wonder how long that's going to last as well.
And actually, it says Rookie Lantern. That's because Jessica there, if you go back to the one I've read earlier this week with the Justice League
know
number
who
50.
Sinestro is.
Well, she just got the ring in the end of Justice League 50.
Yeah. She now, that's for New 52, because for comic fans that don't know, or fans in general don't know, she was a Green Lantern prior to the pre-52.
Okay.
But then when New 52 started, I guess they didn't write her in there, so she didn't have a ring. And also, in the Rebirth comic, it was funny, because then Hal Jordan say a Green Lantern with a gun? I don't know about that guy. Didn't he say something like that?
No, I said that. I said,
I promise that was in the book. If you go back on there, he said something about his gun.
Yeah, I just looked at the cover, and it's like, why does a Green Lantern have a gun?
Yeah. But no, Hal said something about that in a new Rebirth book.
Oh, okay.
So I thought that was kind of funny, because the fans mostly were asking about that, like, huh? But, so that's going to be a next pickup.
Oh, wait. No, that wasn't Hal, if I remember right. Let me look it up.
Okay.
Because the end of the Rebirth comic actually has the covers for all the number ones. It has a little, like, two-line description from each. Let me find the one for Lanterns. There.
No,
that's
go back in, yeah, go back in that book if you want to. You don't have to because it's going to be some searching. But she's holding her ring up and she's getting a hologram of Hal Jordan.
Yeah. Give me half a second. I remember where that's at.
Okay.
Matter of just getting to it. Before this.
Speaking of which, fans, I have on my Green Lantern ring right now.
Oh, yeah. Now, the two panels, it's not Hal. It's actually Jessica. It says, you're talking about the Green Lantern that carries the gun, Hal. I'd really rather not. I only just got this ring, and you're busy? Who's Sinestro?
And so that was the
Hal Jordan. That's what it is. Hal Jordan told, it looks like he told her to go find this guy.
Yeah, that was it. Okay. And also Sinestro being part of this, she doesn't even know who that is yet.
Yeah.
She's in for, that's going to be a big part, I think, of what's going to be going on the next couple of issues.
Well, that's going to lead into Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps. That's what they're going to be doing, is dealing with Sinestro again.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's going to have to deal with Earth with this other guy.
Okay.
So, but my number two is Batman Beyond number 13. Now, this should be resetting here pretty quick, because it's either June or July that we get Batman Beyond number one with Terry McGinnis as Batman again.
Yes, but it says,
right now, Tim Drake is Batman, right?
Yeah.
After Forever Evil.
Yeah.
Wasn't that it?
That was just, yeah, it was after just Forever weird Evil. To see.
Or it was Future, no, it was Future's End, wasn't it? Future's End, I think that changed.
Was it Future's End?
I don't remember. There's been a couple of major events that I've not caught up on yet. But it says, past and present overlap as Batman and Barbara Gordon attempt to unravel the secret of Rewire. It's no longer the same man behind the suit. So who is it? Meanwhile, we get a glimpse into the past as Terry McGinnis Batman conducts a search for a possible resurrected Joker. What light can this parallel search from the past shine to the mystery of the present? So it's actually a dual story of Terry McGinnis when he was Batman and Tim Drake now as Batman searching. So it'll be interesting. And hopefully this is going to help set up the Terry McGinnis coming back as Batman. This was written by Dan Jurgens and art by Bernard Chang. So what is your number three?
My number three is number Batman one, whichever Rebirth way we went with one.
It. Batman Rebirth number one? I'm surprised you didn't throw Arrow on your list.
I was thinking about it, but after what happened in the cave and, well, everything from the Watchmen button to the Joker's being revealed, it seemed like I was more intrigued by what's going to happen there. I want to see Green Arrow and Black Canary and all their storyline, but I'm curious on what this is going to do for the whole universe right now.
Okay.
The description isn't much for this. They only want to give out any spoilers, so I know this is going to be a great book. Longtime Batman and Eisner Award-winning writer Scott Snyder co-writes with rising stars Tom King, and then it has last sentence, evil. 365, Gotham faces this threat of Calendar Man. So,
okay.
I guess Calendar Man would be the next book, but that's it.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to choose two more comics, because there's one more Rebirth title for this year, or for this week.
Month.
But my actual third one was, I chose Dr. Fate number 13, to get a little bit of a variation in here. Dr. Fate number 13 says, from a windowless tower in Salem, Massachusetts, a man who is familiar with Dr. Fate, Kent Nelson, smells trouble coming. Now, if you remember, Kent Nelson was Dr. Fate for a long time. He was Dr. Fate. He had the helmet.
Yeah.
But he doesn't now. It says, but will he be able to properly teach the former medical student and current possessor of the mystical power, Khalid Nasur, how to truly be Dr. Fate before all of New York City is aflame? So it looks like there's a new Dr. Fate who Kent Nelson is teaching how to use the power.
We're getting a lot of that in this Rebirth.
Yeah. Well, this is written by Paul Levitz.
Not mad at that.
And this one's not even one of the Rebirth titles. This is now, is just a regular series.
Is this going to have what's going on in Rebirth?
I don't. Well, it will affect it, obviously, because all the books are connected.
Okay,
they're all in the same universe.
I was wondering about that.
So, but the art
is by...
Could we see
Dr. Fate in this... in the Rebirth one, so.
I hope so, at some point.
No, I mean, the book we were just going over, he was in there, so I was wondering if that's going to be after, before, where's that ball in place?
I don't know. And I don't even know if that was the new Dr. Fate or if that's the old Dr. Fate.
Exactly, yeah.
So, but the art was done by Ibrahim Mustafa. So, and then, as just an honorable mention, we got to mention, because we've already talked about this week, the Rebirth titles are Batman, Green Lanterns, with an S, Superman Rebirth, and then Green Arrow Rebirth. Now, Green Arrow Rebirth number one says, together again for the first time, the Emerald Archer meets Black Canary, Questioning everything Green Arrow believes in, Dinah Lance throws the hero's world upside down, forcing him to question what he cares about more, his morals or his money. Then it says, Bullseye. Readers are aching for the reunion of Green Arrow and Black Canary. And we're finally going to give it to them, says writer Benjamin Percy. Also, and then quoted also returning, Green Arrow's goatee. So.
And I was going to say, there is something about the comic book that's intriguing me a lot more now. We'll probably not get to see her on the show, them being, well, Green Arrow and Black Canary. But we will get to see them in the comics. Because at the time when this was happening, we didn't even have them in the books. I think that's another reason why fans were so upset.
Yeah.
Well, this didn't have none of our fan service.
Yeah. Well, this was written by Benjamin Percy, and art was done by Otto Schmidt. So that's actually our comic book shop for this week. Every week we're probably going to end up choosing all the rebirths, but we'll try to choose a couple other titles in there too, because it looks like the rest of the DC Universe is still going to continue. So I think we've touched on everything, and rebirth, we went a lot farther into detail than I think I planned on originally. But this is a huge event, and I am all excited about this. I'm loving the idea of where we're going to from here. This is actually going to be a supersized episode of DC Superpowers also.
Yeah, so. It's funny you said we went on. I want to go on longer because the rebirth, like I said, this is the best book I've read all year. Yeah, I mean, I love, like I said, the Batman and Teen Titans, but this hit home because it brought back the nostalgia for me as a DC fan.
Well, they also timed this just right because all the seasons of all the TV series has ended just now. This week. So we have all summer to jump into Rebirth and get deep into the minutia of how this is going to work. I was wondering, because the TV shows are such a large part of our show, that I was wondering what we were going to do for summer or just have short shows. And I don't think we're going to have any problem filling and learning more as we go.
These books. Yeah.
So, but, I believe as we're getting ready to end this out for tonight, Vernon, overall so far with just what we've learned with Rebirth now, hang on half a second. Vernon, why don't you tell people where they can find us on the internet?
You can find us at on social media on IG, Instagram, DC Superpowers Podcast. Find us on Twitter on Superpowers DC, and also find us on Facebook, DC Superpowers Podcast.
And then you can always send us an email at dcsuperpowers@gmail.com. Let us know if you read Rebirth, what you thought about Rebirth, and what are your theories about what's coming for the future of the DC Universe? You can also get us at iTunes, Stitcher, Satchel Player, and the Google Play Store. Now go to iTunes and leave a rating and review, guys. I want to know what you guys think of our show, how we're doing. Are we doing it right? Are we messing up a bunch of stuff? Let us know.
What do you want to hear us do? What do we need to change?
Exactly. We want you guys to be as much part of the show as we are. I mean, right now it's just the two of us talking back and forth, but we want you to be part of the conversation. The easiest way to do that is to either send us an email. Or, actually, if you pay attention to our Twitter feed, usually we record these live on Saturday mornings, whenever we can, live on Mixlr.com. So if you watch our Twitter feed, I tweet out right before we go live. Right now, the plan is every Saturday morning at 9, when we're able to do it. So, and if something changes, I tweet it out earlier in the week so everybody knows when they can get a hold of us. So, Vernon, did you have anything else for the Super Friends before we have to shut this off? I got to go clean the latrines on the second floor.
See, I just got to do guard duty again outside and get tan.
How do you keep getting guard duty?
Look, I'm here, I'm loud, I can yell and say, hey, we need help, and now just stuck off somewhere.
Well, Super Friends, it's been fantastic, and we'll see you next week.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.